Let's look back at the special session that took place earlier this month. Lawmakers passing a few different pieces of legislation. And there was one bill that sort of had four or five different major elements all put into one. And one of those elements had to do with benefiting firefighters, especially if they get cancer because of the job that they are doing. And so I wanted to talk more about this. And joining us back on the show for more is Caitlin Pereira of the Fairfield Firefighters Association, IAFF Local 1426, as well as Pete Brown, the president of the State Association of Firefighters. Thank you both for being here. We appreciate it.
Good morning, Melissa. How are you?
Of course. Thanks for having us, Melissa.
Oh, absolutely. And Caitlin, did I hear that you had a big birthday a couple days ago, maybe?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Well, happy belated birthday, my friend. It looked like a exciting celebration. Love that for you.
Thank you.
Yes, you're
Thank
very
you so
welcome.
Much.
And Pete, I'm great. Thank you so much for asking. It's great to have you back on the show.
It's good to be back with you. It's always good to talk about all issues facing Connecticut, especially facing the fire service. So. Thank you for the invite.
Oh, always. You guys are always welcome back on the show. I love having these chats. And whoever would like to get us started, go for it. I want to first talk about, let's set the stage, if you will, before we get to the legislation. Let's set the stage for people and making sure they understand how prevalent cancer diagnoses are for firefighters in Connecticut. I know it's a nationwide issue, but let's focus on Connecticut. And can you share sort of the impact for firefighters across the state?
Sure. Melissa, you brought up obviously the federal numbers. So just for some listeners who maybe haven't heard this segment before, in 2023 there were 459 career firefighters whose names were put on the IAFF Memorial Wall out in Colorado. And 75% of that 459 were deaths due to occupational cancer. And in 2024, so the numbers that were put on the wall earlier this year to memorialize those individuals, that number actually had climbed. So that shows us that it's not only, you know, an issue here, but everywhere. But as far as Connecticut goes specifically, we unfortunately have seen, and Pete can certainly attest to this, unfortunately better than any of us, we have seen the firefighters pass away here from occupational cancer. There have been three from Norwalk specifically over the past 4 years, and then a number from other fire departments, both career and volunteer firefighters. Some firefighters who spent time doing both, right, volunteered initially when they started and then became career firefighters. So we know that it is something that we knew it was something it needed addressing in 2023 when the legislation was passed initially, but it's not something that we could just take a stab at one point and then say, okay, this is all set. We can just move on to the next issue, right? This is something that we continue to need our care and dedication because it is such a prevalent problem in the fire service.
Mm-hmm. And we have had constant conversations, really, I think, over the last few legislative sessions, because there's been more and more of a push for, you know, to create, but also to bolster some of the laws on the books to better support firefighters across the state. I mean, talk about what, I guess, let's start with what passed in the 2025 regular session and then what just happened during this most recent special session in November.
Yeah, so When we passed the original law, it was a great piece of legislation. It provided a really high level of benefit to our firefighters diagnosed with cancer. You know, in our opinion, it checked off all the boxes they were going to need: job protection, wage replacement, out-of-pocket medical expenses, coverage if they were no longer able to work as a firefighter anymore. And all that stuff was amazing and critical to those firefighters. But the elephant in the room from day one was, without a dedicated funding stream, long term, we were afraid that that fund could collapse and those benefits could stop being paid out to the firefighters that need them. So we've been working around the clock since that first piece of legislation passed to find a dedicated funding stream to make sure that that fund stays fully funded decades to come. What came out in this during the regular session was an answer to that funding problem. What they did was, this was kind of a resurrection of an old idea that came up in, 2017, I think this originally was proposed. It was a charge on every phone bill in the state, a five cent monthly charge on every phone line in the state of Connecticut, and that money would be collected and put into the Cancer Relief Fund. What it originally started at was peeling off a piece of the 911 emergency fund. If you notice on your phone bill, there's a 911 charge that goes onto every phone bill currently. That charge goes in to fund the 911 system across the state of Connecticut and across the country. Originally, they were going to steal a small piece of that and put it into the cancer fund. But after some discussion about the legality of that, we found the best course of action was to make another dedicated line that says Firefighter Cancer Relief Fund. You will see it on your bill starting in January of 2027 after the special session made some modifications. And that fund will be dedicated to cancer relief. And what happened in the special session was no structural change to the program. All that was done was they moved the start date back a little bit. The phone company said they needed some time with getting the new charge up and running. And they removed an opt-out provision, which they believed was going to be a problem in the billing cycle. So other than that, everything is exactly the same from the regular session. And those funds will start coming in, I believe, under the modification, January 1st, 2027.
And I believe if I was reading this correctly, again, we've got Pete and Caitlin here talking about the Firefighters Cancer Relief Program. And during a special session this month, the Connecticut General Assembly passed this. It was like a wide ranging bill, honestly. It was House Bill 8004, but it did include some provisions to the Firefighters Cancer Relief Program. So we're looking at what, like a 5 cent monthly charge specifically for the Firefighters Cancer Relief Program, I believe is what I read.
Yes, that's correct. 5 cents every month on every phone bill in the state of Connecticut, every phone line in the state of Connecticut. So for myself, we have four phones in my house. Basically, it'll cost my family $2.40 every year to fund the Firefighter Cancer Relief Fund. You know, again, nobody wants another tax. Nobody wants another charge on any of their bills. We know the pressures are pretty tough on all bills and finances across the state. But this is such a small amount of money to do such a huge impact for the lives of the firefighters that diagnosed with cancer. We thought this was probably the easiest and smoothest path for us to fully fund that cancer relief program.
Well, and you need to unpack it, right? So there's a couple of things that to be said about this. I look at, for example, this is on anybody who owns a phone, right? So cell phone, house phone, right? Everybody essentially will face this. Okay. So what I like about this versus, for example, public benefits, I know I'm going down a rabbit hole. I promise I'll come back around. But what I don't love about the public benefits is that if you are not an Eversource or a UI customer, you are the only one that's paying for this public benefits, which would include going green initiatives, which, you know, the entire state would benefit from. But if you are not an Eversource or UI customer, you're not paying that, but you're going to benefit from it. And so what I like about this is that it's divvying it up across everybody in Connecticut. I feel like it's fair in that regard. The other thing, though, too, and maybe you guys could speak to this at the local level, certainly, is that it would be nice if for the Firefighters Cancer Relief Program, we could have pulled that money from elsewhere. But correct me if I'm wrong, Caitlin, I feel like I specifically remember talking to you about this where I said, well, where is this money coming from and how long can we keep generating money into this program? And you're like, I don't know. Right? I mean, yeah. It was sort of like, hey, great idea. But after we run out of the initial money, which we were going to run out of pretty quickly, where's that money going to come from? And it was just sort of like, I don't know.
Right. It was initially $5 million that was put into the fund in 2023 when the vote was made in the implementer budget, which I know $5 million sounds like a lot of money. But unfortunately, we know the cost of just getting sick in general, but especially of being diagnosed with cancer, and firefighters losing work, and God forbid if they were to lose their lives, and it's considered a line of duty death, then there's money that is owed to a family in that scenario as well. And I mean, it was such a problem that when we were brainstorming our endorsement questionnaires through IFF Local 1426, one of the six questions we would ask is, if the state fund is to become insolvent, would you support still taking care of our sick firefighters through another avenue, right, through a municipal funding source at some point? Because we were nervous that
right.
at some point we would not be able to pay the money that was due to these firefighters and their families. And, you know, Melissa, I'm sure you've seen some of the reports that have come out of the comptroller's office about the shortage of firefighters we have here in this state, volunteer and career. And we can't pretend that this is not a component of that, right? We have been telling the story about cancer in the fire service, and it is a real problem. And so if benefits have been chipped away at over the years, and we're also saying like, hey, now you might also get sick, there has to be a message out there that not only are we going to take care of the firefighters that we have now, but if you're interested in joining the fire service, that is something, an obligation that we understand that we have to you, and that's something that we'll see through if your family should unfortunately need us to at some point.
Yeah, and I saw this actually at the Stamford Downtown Parade Spectacular yesterday, the Stamford volunteer truck and the career truck. They had signs, we need firefighters. I mean, we still have a shortage of firefighters on average across the state. I do know there are some departments that are doing very well. But to me, this is more of a just another, I think, you know, A, it's showing that you guys matter. But B, I would think that this is also a good recruiting tool. Like, hey, look at what the state just invested in. And hey, we now have a concrete way of continuing to make sure that we fund this program. It is going to cost you maybe a few nickels more a month, but your local firefighters are thanking you for it. I'm talking about House Bill 804, which passed during the special session this month. It included a consistent way to continue funding for the Firefighters Cancer Relief Fund. We're talking to Caitlin Pereira and Pete Brown about this. And again, Caitlin with the Fairfield Firefighters Association, IAFF Local 1426. Pete, president of the State Association of Firefighters. And obviously, we talked at the beginning of this of how common it is for firefighters to get cancer. Maybe people don't realize why that is. I think that plays an important role in this. Obviously, we have no issue calling 911 when an emergency happens, and without fail, firefighters show up to do their job effectively. But maybe we don't realize why you guys are more prone to getting cancer on the job.
Sure. I can offer a little insight into that, just in our exposures that we get, you know, on the fire ground, right? We think about if you're at a campfire for a couple hours roasting marshmallow and you walk away and you're like, wow, I smell like smoke, right? My sweatshirt, my hair, everything. Think about, you know, that a hundredfold when you're inside a building where there's all sorts of elements on fire, right? Whether it's the couch, the actual structure of the building, all of that is putting off chemicals. And those carcinogens not only are on our skin, but penetrate through our skin and get into our bloodstream. And sometimes we're able to get that off of us pretty quickly. Most of the time, I would say, we are not. And so we also know that we have, there's carcinogens on the gear that we have, not only just on the surface of it, but in the chemicals that are used to make the gear mm-hmm. repellent of liquids, including hydrocarbons. And those are all cumulative, right? So if you're in the fire service 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you could have thousands of exposures over.
How
that
are we with updating that, though, Caitlin? Are we in a? Are we working on changing the gear?
So I'll let Pete touch on that, because the UPFSA, yes, has absolutely been advocating for changes in the gear.
Yeah. So separate from actual changes in the gear, we've definitely gotten better at our cleaning and decontamination process. It was when I started a long time ago, it was, you know, common to come back from a fire, you hang your stuff up, you take a shower, and then you sit down and have dinner, and that's pretty much all you do. That's not the practice anymore. We come back from a fire, we run our gear through a pretty significant cleaning process, try to extract as much of those chemicals and carcinogens out of the gear as possible. We do usually a gross decon of ourselves on scene, wash ourselves off, get as much off on scene as then go back and then do a thorough shower. So from that perspective, we're a lot better than we were, like I said, 10, 15, 20 years ago. But from the gear perspective, there's innovations in the gear taking place every single year now. Connecticut actually was one of the first states in the country to pass a PFAS ban. Starting 2026, anything that contains PFAS needs to be labeled. And then in 2027, no product in the state of Connecticut can be sold with added PFAS chemicals to it, including turnout gear and station wear. So we believe within the next, you know, a little more than a year, the next generation of firefighters is going to have turnout gear that does not contain these deadly chemicals. And we think, you know, hopefully that's going to play a major role in keeping them safer in the future, you know. And like I said, for us that have been on the job for a while, we've had those exposures already. All we can really do is keep ourselves as safe and as well protected as possible. So that's, you know, those are the procedures we're putting in place every day in our fire departments.
And I think continuing to fight for more support for our fighters, which Caitlin, you and Pete, you both and many others have continued to do. And so I appreciate the work that you do, obviously professionally, but also for advocating to support our firefighters, because that's common knowledge. We need our firefighters, both volunteer and career. And so I thank you both so much for this update. And certainly we will continue to follow this very closely and going into the next legislative session. Anything that's in the works, we'd love to continue talking about it here on WICC, and recruitment, obviously, we're also focused on as well. Thank you both so much.
Thank you, Melissa. Happy holidays to you, and looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Yes, looking forward to it as well. And thank you both again for what you do. Caitlin Pereira, who again is with the Fairfield Firefighters Association, IAFF Local 1426, and Pete Brown, the president of the State Association of Firefighters here on WICC.